Right, should we do this thing?
I took notes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should we kick off at the beginning? And when I say the beginning, I mean the intro.
Do we have an intro?
No, not our intro. I mean the show intro. The Game of Thrones, right?
What is the show intro?
Well, the theme song.
Oh, that's right. They showed the intro this time.
Yeah.
Oh.
So.
And I were wondering where they didn't fucking show that last week.
They reused the Game of Thrones theme song.
Yeah, note for note. And I'm upset. Well, okay, upset's a strong word there. But like,
yeah, it's just associating too much with Game of Thrones and not being its own thing, right?
It feels a little, I don't know, like cheap in all honesty. They used the exact note for note version. If they wanted to do something that was based on it. You know, you got Romain Djawadi, who is the best at like iterative, like musical themes and stuff like that. So, you know, and they've already got Targaryen themes. They've already got so much stuff to work with.
They could have used
a Targaryen theme.
And I bet it was a marketing decision. I bet it was like a boardroom and suits and all that kind of thing. Going, oh, all right, we're gonna.
Yeah, people are gonna recognize this theme.
And we're gonna do the Game of Thrones metaverse. And the because everything's a metaverse now with the Star Wars and Marvel and the Justice League, and it's like
Horizon Worlds.
Yeah.
Wait, do you mean Extended Universe?
Yeah, that's the one. You know where it's all a.
You said metaverse, and I was like Facebook.
No. I didn't mind the Bloodlines thing where you've got that, you know, you've got the stone carving.
Oh, so those are the that was supposed to be like the blood traveling from person to person. Is that what that was?
I believe like all the symbols of it represent various different like people and like the bloodlines and the marrying and the conflict and the metaphor for the blood and the shh and all that kind of stuff. It's a little bit above my knowledge, but apparently it like means a load of stuff.
What was it flowing on? Was it flowing on like was it just a represent of the different lines of people, or was it like the sculpture that the king was carving in his room?
I think
the king doesn't carve that; the masons fucking do, and that pissed me off more than anything.
Oh yeah, wait, like his own hobby? He orders people to do his own hobby.
Someone else does his own hobby.
He does a little bit on the corner, and then says it's all his.
I wonder how much he's paying them to do that.
Well, to be fair, look at it. One person's not doing all of that, right?
Yeah, that's true. Unless he was really poor, you know? Thought that was his only hobby.
Yeah, well, yeah. Wouldn't be a very good king then, would he? I mean, is he a very good king? No. I don't know. Question. I mean,
wouldn't. If he had a hobby that great, he wouldn't have been doing his kingly things.
His kingly things.
Are we going?
Yeah, we're going, yeah.
No, I'm like, are we?
Okay. Just want to make sure.
You didn't want to like use up all your top map material.
Dun, 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 dun. There we go. That's as much of the theme as we can use.
Yeah, we can get
the first like 3 seconds line.
To be fair, we don't monetize this channel, so you could probably get away with at least 10 seconds before we get content locked or whatever it is. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, so the way I gathered from the broader strokes of this episode is that this is one of those episodes where they lay down the groundwork. For the stuff to come, right? Because there wasn't like it was. I found it quite slow paced, and one of the things that jumped out at me in this particular episode is that not much jumped out at me in this particular episode. Like, it's really becoming apparent.
They got to set some stuff up.
They're setting a lot of stuff up. I did enjoy the episode all in all, but it's becoming very apparent that every character in this is like really serious. There's no Tyrion, there's no Bronn, there's no, you know, like, there's no, it's not even like
there's
a little finger
no
or a virus.
There's no lightheartedness in any of the characters to lighten what's happening.
Yeah, like it does feel a little bit like a reenacting a history a little bit, which I guess is what they're doing, so, you know. But the characters they seem to be lacking a little bit of personality, I guess. You know, everything seems very dour, everything seems very grey, everyone's got very serious expressions on their faces. And considering that this is a time of reasonably long-standing peace, I don't necessarily know if that's entirely warranted, right? Like, in the first episode, there was a bit more jovialness, but not, like, a lot.
Right.
I don't know. Is that me? Am I just? How did the rest of you feel about that?
I agree. For the most part.
Well, right now, what's happening is that they're trying to lay down the future of the kingdom because the king has to be remarried, and it's kind of a serious deal. Like, you can't really.
Yeah, they have to like establish some like main players in the conflict, because so far it was about like everybody's fighting over like, you know, the spot for the king's heir, and now that like a decision has finally been made, now you get like people deciding where their allegiances are, and you establish some like foundational conflict between people. You can see people like buddying up now, you know.
Yeah, and you're seeing the pieces sort of being put into play, and we're also seeing this this thing on the stepstones taking a little bit of shape, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the crab feeder.
Yeah, the crab feeder. So I'm interested to know what his deal is. I mean, I've not read Fire and Blood, so I don't know if that's something that appears in the book, or whether or not they sort of added this in as a bit of flavor, as a bit of like something, you know, like to make it a bit more interesting, or to give context to some of the decisions. But is it, I mean, it seems interesting, and it seems from the previews that we might be in for a good battle next episode. So,
I think Daemon and his dragon are gonna wreck things up in the Stepstones. That's gonna be pretty exciting to watch.
Is that
gonna see full scale dragon like fighting in this show? Yeah, or
is
destruction.
Is this gonna be the episode where we decide that we like Daemon? Or because is it because
I think I already like Daemon, but I'm not sure how much of that is just like, you know, like Matt Smith is an actor already, and so it sort of does a lot of the work to make you like him, even though he's sort of you know, like you see he's like kind of a dick, but he has like a good heart and cares about his family. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the biggest Doctor Who fan. Like, obviously, being British, it's just part of the general culture. But like, I mean, I don't dislike Matt. I don't have a preconceived opinion about Matt Smith, and or at least I don't like, perhaps have the same enthusiasm for him as an actor as perhaps Stacey might do. But like. But I do like him in this. Like his Daemon Targaryen as a character seems interesting for sure, because there's definitely some like viciousness to him, and there's some ego to him, and there's some strategy to him. But on the other hand, like the stuff that he does, on the whole, seems to be like reasonably calculated, and I kind of like that about him. But he also seems like sufficiently reckless to make him interesting and not very predictable as well. So,
yeah,
I kind of like that, really. I think his character is incredibly well acted as well. Like, I like the fact that he's not an idiot. One of the things about a lot of vicious characters in Game of Thrones was that. They weren't hugely bright. Like, obviously, there was a mix. You know, like someone like Tywin Lannister was obviously very intelligent. But then, you know, people like Joffrey, for example, were not. I suppose when it comes to Ramsay Bolton, he was a bit of a mixed bag, because he did have a decent amount of strategy on him, but he was also quite like not hugely brainy. But yeah, I like Daemon Targaryen. I think he's. Definitely one of the more interesting characters here. So I think one of the things in this episode, I'm going to jump forward a little bit. Otto Hightower, he's definitely like not a great guy. I think he's sort of his his mask has dropped a little bit in this episode as well. Definitely in terms of how he's playing his daughter as a pawn in the game, which I think is...
Yeah, I mean, I kind of sensed that from the first episode where he was like, you know, wear my dead wife's dress and get the king to see you a lot and build intimacy, and then I'll use the intimacy you built to ascend into power.
Exactly.
I saw that coming. I mean, that's something that...
Well, we saw it coming, but, like, this is, like the veneer is slipping, right? The mask is slipping. It's like he's sort of becoming a lot, like, uglier as a character, I guess, really, like, visibly so, right? It was fucking gross when he's like, you're the comeliest girl at court, or whatever he said. Like, it's like, oh, my God. Like, that's psychopath talk, that is, you know? Like...
Well, there it is.
That's not good. So I don't know. And he's gonna be on the side of the Aegon Targaryen in the conflict.
Yep.
And I think from the preview, if I remember correctly, we're looking at Aegon Targaryen perhaps being born in the next episode, so that's going to be quite interesting. Maybe, I don't know. The previews seem to be a little bit, like, all over the place, because I'm sure there was stuff in the episode 2 preview that we haven't seen yet. So I don't, you know, a trailer, sorry, I should say a trailer for each episode. And then, of course, at the end of the episode...
I don't know if I saw the trailer for the next episode.
I'll tell you one thing I really did like was the Dragonstone reveal. Then they had the camera that just, like, went over all the sharp rocks that came out of the sea, and then like you had the misty fortress off in the background, and it sort of came into view.
Mm-hmm.
That was a beautiful shot, and I don't think it's, I don't know, is it something we haven't seen something like that in Game of Thrones, have we? Possibly we saw a few things in the later seasons. That had the big sweeping special effect things, but certainly not in the earlier seasons when they didn't have the budget for it. But Dragonstone looked absolutely beautiful in this.
Yeah, those are cool. The two dragons in that one little causeway scene.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting to see, like, what the... which one's the queen that never was? She's
Rhaenys.
Yeah, like I think she's going to be quite an interesting character. Well, like because she had
I liked her conversation with Rhaenyra.
Yeah,
she was the one that said that a woman was never meant to be like heir because it breaks tradition, right? It would never work or never last.
Well, she was talking about her own experience. Being passed over for Viserys.
Right.
And just sort of like telling Rhaenyra, like, this isn't going to go how you think it is. Like, I think their relationship is interesting. It could be very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, she seems incredibly jaded by the system, whereas Rhaenyra is, you know, like, rebellious and,
took the dragon out.
Yeah.
Took the dragon out without the king's permission to stop the bloodshed from happening and take credit for it.
Yeah, that would have been interesting. What do you think would have happened if Rhaenyra hadn't showed up?
Maybe there would have been a battle there.
I don't know. It's interesting to see him take the gold cloaks. I mean, we knew they were fiercely loyal, so it would have happened, but, like, who's guarding King's Landing? Probably, like...
Oh,
I don't know.
Nobody.
Yeah, mods are asleep. Post memes.
Some of the seeds of like that lead to the destruction that's going to happen because you know that we know that the whole system falls, right?
Yeah,
we know that the house falls.
Mm. Well, yeah. I mean, it does survive. Just like, but I think all of the dragons die, or most of the dragons die. It's certainly something that. Certainly, like, wrecks the house from which they don't really ever fully recover.
I'm wondering what one of my questions was, like, the relationship between Rhaenyra and, is it Alicent? Is that her name?
Yeah.
I wonder how that's going to play out, because...
Oh, I don't think they're friends.
Rhaenyra did not like what happened at the end of that last episode. Walked out.
No.
That's probably not going to last. We'll have to see how that...
Would you like if your dad was like, I'm going to marry your best friend and then bang her and she's going to give me kids?
No.
That, that reminds me of that horrendous Twitter drama that happened a while back, where someone's best friend, there was this woman, she was like quite young, like 21 or something, I think, and her friend moved in, and then her like best friend moved in, and then when the woman was at work, her best friend was banging her dad, but every time she did it, she felt really bad and made her pasta bake. And this pasta bake had become some kind of like metaphor for deception and sort of dealing with guilt. And then it all came out in the open on Twitter, and then everyone like a Jerry Springer show, and everyone had their their opinions on it. It's like
weird.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah, it was kind of. I think there are a few more things to it, because like the dad was going to court and everything, and it was proper like, oh, Twitter was not the place for that. I'm sorry, but like, you know, yeah. That was a weird day on Twitter. I'm sure people like, yeah, there's, I think, I don't know if that was just British Twitter. I don't know, but like, but it was like trending for
that
the whole day.
Might have just been British.
Oh, I'll try and like dig up some kind of like know your meme or something about it, but yeah, like, so because it's the event that's coming up is the event where you've got the blacks and the greens, right, where there's this event and Alicent's wearing one color, Alicent's wearing green and Rhaenyra's wearing black, and the division happens there, I think. Because Alicent's going to be the mother of Aegon Targaryen, who's going to be the heir for the throne. Who, of course, I think, yeah, and I don't. So, what side would Daemon Targaryen be on then? What would Dave? Yeah,
he's a shifty one. He's a shifty one. I think he's right, going to play both sides.
But based off the end of that episode, right? He's in cahoots with. Lord, is it Corlys?
Corlys, no. Yeah.
Corlys Velaryon.
Yeah, Corlys. At the end of that episode, it like pans and it does that like circle cam, and it reveals Daemon in cahoots talking to him. So he's probably gonna try to play the middleman in some way, so he can like leverage his army and everything.
Yeah.
To see.
That's kind of interesting. This is one of the things where I'm kind of like glad I didn't read the books, because it's kind of, it's given me that sense of like anticipation and suspense on that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think thinking it through, I don't know. Does he care? Does he have a horse in this race? Does Daemon have a horse in the race?
He has an army.
Yeah.
But I think maybe after being told he wasn't going to be the heir to the throne, he doesn't actually care anymore.
He's like looking for a new calling.
Yeah, or is he going to try and kill?
He tried to steal the egg, or he wanted to steal the right. He wanted to steal the dragon egg because
the
he wanted.
Baby,
right, he calls himself the rightful heir in this episode, so I don't think he's totally abandoned. Those intentions, but
Rhaenyra's just like, take me down, I'm right here. You want the air?
Yeah.
As a badass moment, I was like, get her.
Do it.
Get her.
Tension.
So perhaps, maybe, I think Daemon and Corlys are going to back Rhaenyra. Because Corlys is going to feel slighted by the Hightowers.
Yep.
That seems like it's gonna fall together like that,
and
because of the marriage decision.
Yeah. Well, but then, like...
yeah, I think. Daemon's gonna hook up with Rhaenyra. Eventually.
Yeah. That. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Almost. It seems like it.
Well, they could do the Targaryen thing and even get married, and then they like as king and queen, right? That would be a Targaryen mm-hmm. thing to do, right? Targaryen solution to the problem. When in doubt, yeah. just marry it out.
Well, yeah. it seems to be the most like guaranteed last resort exit seems to be just marry mm-hmm. into power and more status.
So I'm going to assume that in the realms of the Game of Thrones universe, right? It wouldn't have been an option for Viserys to marry both Corlys's daughter and Alicent Hightower, right?
Well, Aegon was married to both of his sisters, Aegon the Conqueror. So I know that there is precedent really? For wow. Them having multiple wives, but I don't know how much it like we haven't really seen it very much in Game yeah. of Thrones
and yeah and also I think the key thing would be like on account of Alicent Hightower being older she would presumably bear the first heir which would kind of mean that the Velaryon family would be kind of still cut out of the share of power because they I mean that's sort of an assumption but like there would still fundamentally be that like sort of polyamory aside whenever we have seen like polyamorous marriages it's still been between amongst Targaryens right or no, I think there might be some cases, but it's like it's usually been between two houses, right? It's never been like a trifecta of power, as it were. It's never been a way to like, oh well, you know, it's never been like a way to like resolve conflict on two fronts, right? Like you can't just marry all your problems away, right? Yeah.
They can try, but
it's probably better than war, right? But like, I don't know. Yeah, you can try.
Yeah, why can't he just marry both of them?
Well, that's it, because only one of them's going to get the heir. That's, I guess, the problem, right?
Yeah, yeah. You can't have. You gotta have one heir. You can't have multiple heirs.
That's it. Yeah.
So. It would be a race to give birth, and that little girl.
Yeah. which one can give birth first?
That's
what's the minimum age?
Oh my god, as if women in this 14. Universe didn't have it bad enough.
I wonder if people are really pissed about the young girl, that whole conversation situation.
I was just sitting here like, you know, I know that was a thing back in the day, but she's so young, please don't do that.
My mom said I don't know how I could wait until I was 14 or
14
15.
To bed you. One of my regulars at work said that think of it as putting a down payment on your future, but you just have to wait 2 years.
Oh, God. Especially everything going on right now in the U.S. Oh, man.
So
bad,
bad
timing.
But, yeah, I mean,
I'm surprised they have any standard at all for waiting till 14.
Age, yeah.
Honestly.
Well, that's probably her mom's doing. Her mom's like, don't you dare.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look like Viserys is like likely to.
He's not really keen on her.
Well, I don't think he's. To be honest, I don't think he's keen on anyone. Given he's, you know, I mean, I don't know how long does it take for a widow to move on? Do they move on? I don't know. Like, if you've been married with someone for any length of time, I would imagine hooking up or sex is like the last thing on your mind, right?
Well,
you know, so I don't know. I'm just giving him the benefit of the doubt or something, you know. But
I don't know, if you look at celebrity culture with how fast people divorce and then find somebody else, it's probably not that long. Different time.
Sam and I have an agreement that it's if one of us dies, it's 1 month for every year we've been together, and then you can move on.
1 month for every year. Okay.
What does move on mean? Move on means find somebody else. That's like the window where somebody else starts.
1 month for every year.
Sort of.
So if you've been
1 month for every year. It's about 8 months.
Does it start?
And
does
then
it not,
you can start dating again.
Does it not start? It doesn't start at one then.
No.
No. All right. So it starts. I mean, how many years have you been married now?
We've been married for 1 year, but like being together, so it's like 8 years. So it could take 8 months to be sad.
Oh my God, have you been together for 8 years?
Yes.
Oh my God, it doesn't. It's, oh my God.
See, Chris, love can exist outside the bounds of marriage.
No, I just mean like time has moved so quickly, right? Like
It has.
It's flown by. I have been married zero times in the last 8 years.
I've only been married the once. So good for me.
Yeah, but you've got your money's worth out of it.
I've been married
twice.
True.
So, I don't feel old now. We saw Kristen Cole again. So,
yeah.
So, Kristen.
He was the only guy that had experience actually in battle, right? Mm. And that's why Rhaenyra picked him.
That has nothing to do with how dashingly handsome he is.
Well, that's the tension, right? It's a little bit of both, probably, but which one's the priority? We don't know.
I mean, he's Dornish, isn't it? That's very, very
exhausting. She was trying to make... That was like an excuse. She was trying to be like, well, he's the only person that actually has experience in battle. So that is the main reason I'm picking him. But also, I'm not going to say the other reason, because that's not the priority.
Well, that he knows how to handle his spear.
Exactly. Both of them.
That scene reminded me of them like being sorted into their Hogwarts houses or whatever, because they're all in colors.
Yeah, Gryffindor! Yeah. Bring your best wizard from each house. I'll choose the best one.
And in that scene, too, Otto Hightower was telling her to reconsider based off of basically politics, whatever, like...
What side they were on, right?
What house he wanted to, like, reward, like, you know, it was all, like, it wasn't...
Yeah.
To him, it wasn't about protection, it was about strengthening political alliances.
Yeah, it's like, who can
like
strengthen
that.
Our political alliance even if they just immediately die so easily? Like, they're expendable.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm glad she went against him, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like that Hightower.
Is she supposed to pick more like than him. One, or is she just picking the main?
She's supposed to pick just one.
Just the main?
Well, there are seven Kingsguard, I believe, for each of the seven kingdoms, but not Dawn? And
do they all ride dragons or something?
No, they don't. I don't think that
they
ride dragons.
They're not
no.
like the dragon people.
They're just a royal guard, really, I think.
That's what Rhaenyra wanted to do, right? She's like, you have dragon riders, right? You can just
show a force.
Use those in your show of force.
Yeah, but I think what we'll see in this series is that dragons are killable, right? Like,
yeah.
She's got a lot of faith in dragons, but I think that she's going to have a rude awakening.
I mean, they're real big.
They're big, but they're not bulletproof.
They're not bulletproof, but they're real big, and a big target's pretty easy to hit sometimes. I guess it depends on how close it gets.
Exactly.
And they could just hover in the sky and rain down fire if they really wanted to.
Well, yeah, but like if you're going to breathe fire, you've got to be pretty close. Right, you can't rain fire.
Make sure you hit the. You got to make sure you hit the funeral pyre.
I think we're unlikely to see any humans kill a dragon. I think dragons killing dragons is definitely going to happen.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Yeah.
Because like it seemed like it was like a shock to everybody that like Qyburn was able to kill a dragon in Game of Thrones. I mean, maybe it's possible with the technology at this time, but. It seemed like it was this brand new thing. So
we almost saw dragon conflict in this episode. I mean,
yeah,
we almost got to that because it's about who's got the dragon and whose allegiance the dragon is to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Mm. Yeah. I think actually one of the things with the Kingsguard selection that might have contextualized Otto Hightower a little bit is that, like, because this is, because it's been in sort of a peaceful time for so long, and because, like, I mean, the Targaryens are at the height of their power, and it, the idea that a Targaryen king would be, like, assassinated or in any real danger is kind of, like, almost unthinkable at this stage. All Otto Hightower sees in terms of that value is it as a ceremonial place, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you know, Rhaenyra might be, you know, she's younger, but, like, her experience or her knowledge base might come from, like, you know, history books where she learns about Aegon the Conqueror. And who was that person that she was talking to right at the beginning? Was it Nymeria or the someone that was?
Yeah, Nymeria. I think that was a story from even before the Targaryens. I forget exactly who Nymeria was.
Was it something to do with the First Men, or is that too far back? Crikey, a lot of history there. But yeah, like, so Rhaenyra's probably, like, she doesn't have life experience, but she has book learning, and amongst that, so she's probably, and history books, of course, they play, well, they say play up the importance of battles. They talk a lot about battles, right? Because they're the things that have swung the pendulum of power the most. So she's probably going to, like, go in with the mindset of that sort of, you know, what to do
she's
in the
got,
case
like,
of
the, yeah, the guts and the courage a little bit too, like Daemon does. So maybe that will, like, Daemon's kind of got the army and the street smarts and, like, the strategy. And then Rhaenyra's got kind of the tactics or the strategy, and Daemon has the tactics. So that might, it could coalesce too.
Yeah.
If they end up joining sides and doing something.
Yeah, that actually, now that you mention it, that Rhaenyra Daemon team up would be kind of formidable. But that being said, of course.
She's got the book smarts.
Yeah. But the Dance of Dragons, right? Like, all the dragons are on one side if that happens, right?
Oh yeah, who has the dragons right now?
I don't know. Like, how many dragons are there? Are there, like, 10 dragons or something to that effect? Like 12?
I don't know.
Something like that.
Power. Yeah.
Who has the dragon power right now?
Didn't they say something that they're all in the keep or whatever, like underneath the castle?
There's the dragon pit, which is in King's Landing.
Okay.
Where a lot of them are, but they were also talking in this episode about a wild dragon.
What?
Right.
Rogue dragon?
Well, was that not Balerion the Black Dread because he's too big for the dragon pits? Who used
no.
to... Oh, no.
Balerion died. Viserys was the last rider of Balerion.
Yep.
Yeah. And hasn't ridden since.
There was another one. Yeah, Viserys hasn't ridden any since.
But he's again
all
on
the
a
dragons
bit, right?
Are under the same. Are they all under the same house, or are there multiple, like, houses in multiple places that have them? Probably. I guess you don't really know.
It's only the Targaryens that are dragons, and I think they're all at the pit, right? Or
they don't have an allegiance
Daemon.
To any.
Yeah,
some
Daemon
people
has
have
his.
A certain.
Oh, yeah.
Some people have, like, one dragon that has allegiance to them. Like, Daemon's got one.
Daemon's got one. I think Rhaenys has one.
Okay.
And her children probably have them too.
Yeah, and I think these are
they
where
might.
The dragons are going to
Yeah,
come
I don't know
from.
what makes the one dragon, like, allegiant to another, a certain person. I don't know how that works.
Well, part of that in this episode, Daemon wanted the egg to place in his baby's cradle. I think that they bond. Like, Targaryen children and dragons bond, like, when they're birth babies.
Right, they're born in the crib, baby's crib, so they bond. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, I think, although, I don't know, like, is that one of those things where it's, like, a tradition, and but, like, in reality, don't dragons just choose their riders? I mean, Jon Snow...
It seems like it would make sense if you just... associate the baby dragon with somebody early on.
I mean, maybe it does something, but Jon Snow rode a dragon, and he was, well, he was kind of Targaryen, wasn't he? So,
yeah.
Well, that's what happens in Game of Thrones, right? There's a scene where there's like baby dragons born with that one woman. I can't remember her name. That's in that. That's a Targaryen.
Daenerys.
Daenerys, yeah.
That one woman, I can't remember.
That one
that's
woman.
Right, you didn't watch
I haven't
it.
Seen
that's
Game of
right.
Thrones. I offer a very unique perspective here, okay? I haven't even seen all of Game of Thrones.
We appreciate the perspective.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Daenerys.
The woman. Does
the woman that was in Triassic Attack.
Does the Night King is he a Targaryen or does he just does it not count when they die, the dragons die?
I think the Night King would have been originally one of the first men, wouldn't he?
Probably, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, because he breaks off really early. Then is that why?
Yeah, well, the undead dragon was an undead dragon. I mean, it, arguably, was it even a dragon, or was it just like the corpse of a dragon that was reanimated, right?
Animated yeah. corpse.
Like, he could have done the same thing with a tree or something, right? Like,
not as fun. You can ride a tree, but it's not going anywhere.
It's not true if you watch Lord of the Rings.
Okay, yeah, yeah, that's but those are tree people. That's different.
Still,
we did see a weirwood tree in episode one, didn't we?
Yeah, it's in
the Godswood.
It's in King's Landing.
Yeah, wow.
Which we didn't see in Game of Thrones. They didn't have any weirwoods in the South, really. Then
Did they not mention it? But like, we didn't see it.
I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong.
They had a weirwood face in the House of Black and White. I wonder if that was actually from a weirwood tree.
Maybe.
Because I suspected there might have been some kind of like first men magic going about where like they were, you know, they were all like linked by the, you know, the weirwood trees and stuff. And you know, you got the one in the Godswood in the King's Landing, and then you got the one at House of Black and White, but it's kind of just the face that's like cut off a tree. And then, you know, you got the ones up in the north, of course. And pretty sure, yeah. I think I might have alluded to that in a video at some point. That now doesn't matter because
What do you think about Prince Damon's relationship with his bride to be? The whole conversation where she's like, "I want to be free from fear." I'm like, "Well, you got the wrong. The wrong guy.
You're in the wrong universe.
Find somebody else."
The wrong family.
Oh, it's like you should have said something a bit sooner. I've kind of committed to now.
Because she walked. Why did she? Right? Because she walked away in the stalemate scene. Because
she was upset because Damon had told them that they were getting married.
And that she was with child.
That she had was with a kid, and she's not.
Yeah, she. It sounds like she like.
Oh yeah.
Had herself sterilized or something.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, and of course, like Moontie's a thing in Game of Thrones, of course, isn't it?
Moontie.
Yeah, like a
the tea where you can abort your child.
The morning after tea.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anti tea. I think that maybe because she is a whore that she sterilized herself so she wouldn't get pregnant from all the other guys that she does.
That makes sense. Right.
Yeah.
So this crab feeder guy.
This crab feeder dude, like, what is he just like kill people? Oh, they have a trade route sealed off, right? Is that why a lot of this is a discussion? There's some like land that he has that's blocking some kind of route.
Well,
the stepstones are islands in between Westeros and Essos. Right. The two major continents. So I guess he's backed by people in the free cities to cause havoc.
Here's the thing, it's deduced.
Sounds like.
Because he's got funding, right? He's got ships, he's got people, I was gonna say staff, he's got people on payroll, right? Like, you know, limited liability company kind of thing. And so it's assumed that he's backed by someone that's kind of important, and we're led to believe it's the Free Cities, which maybe it is, like, but could it be but is that a misdirect? Because, like, I don't know. Are the Iron Bank around at this time? Are they going to have a problem with this disruption of trade? Probably, right?
Yeah.
Maybe.
The means of distribution, or you can affect distribution. You can have power. I mean.
Well, I don't know. Like, we know so little about the trade in Westeros and Essos at this time. It could very well be the case that if the Iron Bank existed and were a player at this time, that they could either benefit from disrupting trade, or they could benefit from trade with Westeros, right? Now, you would assume that Braavos being quite close to Westeros, there'd probably be a fair amount of trade there, and that the Iron Bank would probably, generally speaking, benefit from free and easy trade routes. But I don't know, like, there's any number of plot devices you could throw into the mix to actually change that, right? But but it also could be the case, oh well, hang on a minute, maybe this crab eater guy is like, could Otto Hightower be payrolling him, because the Hightowers are pretty wealthy, you
know? that's what I was thinking.
Ooh.
A little bit espionage,
yeah.
Light treason.
Bit of light treason. I mean, it could be
money treason.
Yeah, like, because he seemed to be playing it down, right? Like, it's a factual event that no one's disputing, that the trade routes are harmed by this. Yet Otto Hightower seems to, like, not care, or seems to downplay its importance, change the subject. So, yeah, like, I'm talking myself into this now. I think, like, Otto Hightower is kind of signaling that this is a little bit of a proxy war with Corlys Velaryon, and he's sort of trying to drain their resources. Or get rid of his fleet, because, you know, maybe he's not threatened by his family in terms of wealth, because the only power, well, the true power of the Velaryons is their ability on the sea. If they have money but no ships, that's not a problem to Otto Hightower, because, like, lots, you know, a lot of his competitors have money. He's taken away the power base of the Velaryons.
Right. Could be.
Yeah, I don't know.
Playing a long-term game.
Yeah, I think so. I think Otto Hightower is yet to play a Littlefinger-esque maneuver. And I think this might be it. I think he might be bankrolling the crab-eating guy. The crab-eater, the crab-man, crab-man?
Crab-feeder.
Crab-feeder, that's the one.
Who is the one that was saying that they're being backed by the Free Cities? Was that Hightower, or was that someone else on the Small Council? Because if he's giving the information,
that was, Lord Velaryon guy.
Oh, that was Velaryon. Okay.
Well, that just means that he is under the impression he might have, you know, bought the con. He might be being misled. Who else would it be? Anyone else would have to go out of their way to stage it, right? And also, like, the crab eater himself might not necessarily be in on it. He just might be being bankrolled by it, right? He might just be like, I don't know, like, what? Maybe he might just be a rogue pirate or something. Or, well, that's it. Pirates do mad stuff for money, don't they? Like,
they go after booty all the time.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you wanted to cause havoc, you'd just give a pirate money, right? That's kind of the how it goes down.
Like, I mean, that's like the most, like, legitimate way that they'll get something done for you and not involve you anymore is if you just pay them, you know.
I don't know.
Pro quo.
That seems like it. Because why would the free cities disrupt trade with Westeros, right? Surely it's a mutually beneficial arrangement, right?
Yeah.
Gotta have a good reason to mess up trade, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, if you do the follow the money principle, who stands to benefit from trade? Who stands to benefit from Corlys's navy being destroyed and or trade routes to the free cities being disrupted? Well, Corlys definitely...
Yeah, sounds like Hightower, right?
Well, yeah, Otto Hightower definitely presumably benefits from the Valyrian fleet being destroyed. Especially if he aligns with maybe Daemon Targaryen or even like Rhaenyra or...
Yeah.
Like...
I don't know.
I think Otto's problem is that he's not really making friends with other people. It just seems like he's like to the king, he's presenting himself in such a way to seem like he's in service to the king directly. Yeah,
he just wants status, right?
He's promoting his own family right now, and he doesn't seem to be cutting anyone else. And so I think that's going to lead to his downfall.
Yeah, times are tough. You got to get some allies, you know? Or else...
Well, yeah, I mean, he's trying to, like...
Because Corlys and Daemon are talking now.
Yeah.
But Otto doesn't have anyone else, it seems.
Yeah, it's like, who's Rhaenyra going to side with? You know?
Well, who's going to side with Rhaenyra? She's one of the sides.
Yeah, exactly. She's still the heir, and Viserys seems like that. He wants that to still be the case. And, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know,
if
like...
If with Daemon, then Rhaenyra will be against Hightower.
Yeah, because... The person with the next best claim after her will be, Hightower's children, Allison Hightower's.
She doesn't like Allison anymore. But maybe she won't like her dad anymore either, because he's the one that made the choice.
Well, I'm expecting Viserys to die.
She was cool. She was cool with her dad marrying a 12-year-old, but not her bestie.
Not her best friend.
That's my friend, Dad. Go find your own.
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
to see where the setup all goes.
I don't know if I'm looking for a twist. Where there might not necessarily be one, right? But it's got to be one, right?
There might be one.
It's got to be one.
There won't be one to some degree. It's going to be either somebody like switching sides or somebody like changing a change of heart or...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
for sure. For it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think, I think as soon as the king's son is born, the king's got to watch his back. Because, for Otto.
Yeah. Okay.
So how...
And King's not in great shape right now anyway, with the, his fingers dying.
Oh, right. the maggots that were eating away the dead cartilage in the finger.
That didn't seem like that bad of a process, just like dipping your hand in the maggots, getting rid of all the...
Oh, it's actually not. Like, doctors actually do that. Like, they put live maggots into wounds, and the maggots eat the dead flesh.
I hope you mean to say they did that.
No, they still do for like burns.
They still do it. The doctors, the surgeons still do it.
I mean, I know the American healthcare system has some
problems. Liberties.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they gotta they gotta find a way to do it. How high the healthcare costs are. They find new solutions. No, but like I don't think maggots can't digest regular flesh because it's just it's not weak enough. They can't.
Oh my god! I've just
I saw in an episode of House, so yeah, it must be Must be true.
Yeah, they can't digest regular skin. They can only digest stuff that's Jakang very easily. Their mouths are tiny.
That makes sense.
Tiny mouths.
I've just pulled it up now. Maggot therapy involves the use of maggots of the green bottle fly, which are introduced into a wound to remove necrotic, sloughy, and infected tissue. Maggots can also be used to maintain a clean wound after debridement if a particular wound is considered prone to re-sloughing? I'm not familiar with that word. Slaying? Sloughing?
Like
S-L-O-O...
It's if it's like vulnerable to reopening and closing. Or
Is that a medical term or just a word I don't know? I don't know.
It's probably a medical term.
The technique, which has been used for centuries, has been reintroduced into modern medicine by doctors and tissue viability specialists who have found that maggots are able to cleanse wounds much more rapidly than for conventional dressings. Well, how about that? That's the UK NHS as well, not...
There you go.
Okay,
see? They still use it.
There you go, Chris.
Nature knows how to do stuff better than we do. Surprise.
Well, there we go. How are the maggots so there's free range maggots. The maggots are applied directly onto the wound and retained within a special dressing system. The exact nature is determined by the size and location of the area to be treated.
There you go. So he has on his back and now it's his finger. Is that what's going on with?
Well, he cut his finger the last episode.
Oh, that's right. He cut his finger on the. On his throne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it got infected or something, right?
And I think
it's got tetanus, I'm telling you.
And well, what are the is tetanus even still a thing nowadays? Because we've got jabs for it, right?
I don't think it is as much.
I mean, I know.
Yeah,
if you fall on a rusty nail or something. You're supposed to go get one because.
Yeah,
it's nasty.
Tetanus is a serious but rare condition caused by bacteria getting into a wound. In 2019, there were only 4 cases of tetanus reported in England. The number is low because an effective tetanus vaccine is given as part of the NHS childhood vaccination program. Most people who get tetanus have either not been vaccinated against it or did not complete the entire vaccination schedule. How do you, so it's bacteria, symptoms of tetanus. The symptom, this podcast has taken a turn. The symptoms of tetanus usually start around 4 to 21 days after infection. On average, they start around 10 days. The main symptoms include stiffness of your jaw muscles, also known as lock jaw, which can make it difficult to open your mouth. Painful muscle spasms, which can make it difficult to breathe or swallow. High temperature, sweating, rapid heartbeat. If it's not treated, the symptoms can get worse over the following hours and days.
He doesn't have tetanus.
You don't want to get stuff in your bloodstream. That's where you get in trouble, especially if it's like a staph infection or that stuff. That's not good.
Yeah. So, but there's definitely I think it's definitely foreshadowing his death. Like, he's out. I think Otto Hightower's not long for this world either. And those are going to be the things that throw the world into chaos. So perhaps Viserys has a couple of episodes left. Maybe. When did Robert die in Game of Thrones? Was that episode 6 or 7 or something? Spoilers for Game of Thrones, by the way.
It was early, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was early. It was in somewhere in the midpoint of season one. So was it even as early as episode 4 or 5?
What did you say, when Robert died?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty early. I think it was definitely before episode 5 or 6.
Yeah. So yeah, so maybe about
by the boar.
It'll be the mid-season pick me up, right? But then, I hope we see a battle. I suspect. I'm hoping for a battle next episode, next week, because that the preview seemed to lead up to it. The crab fella, is, you know, like he's a good catalyst for things to come, and maybe it'll be a reveal that Otto Hightower's been a naughty boy. Maybe he won't. Actually, maybe this might be one of those things where we'll never find out for sure. Because it could be, like, Game of Thrones type stuff loves to do that kind of thing, right? Although they do, I don't know, sometimes they confirm a, well, they can confirm a theory or confirm a plot or something like that, like who killed Joffrey and all that kind of stuff. But also spoilers for Game of Thrones.
Shit, poor Matt.
It's fine, I'm not going to remember diddly squat.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Especially well,
once
like
you see it, you'll remember it for the rest of your life.
To be fair, I had the Red Wedding spoiled, and that still came as a bit of a shock to me.
That was insane.
Mm,
mm. Once you see Joffrey, it'll be the best thing you've ever seen.
Look forward to it.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I think we covered pretty much everything that pretty much happened.
I think we got it there. I do like some of the direction choices in this. They do seem to be like as a result of the increased budget. Because as I understand it, the budget for season one here is more than the budget for season 8 of Game of Thrones, which is kind of something else. And we've not seen a lot that of that budget sense. Put down, really. Like, in this entire episode, we've seen that long sweeping view over Dragonstone, which I can't imagine being that much.
It's going to be a lot more when those ship battles start happening, probably.
Yeah.
What was the most, most expensive... What do you think was the most expensive season of Game of Thrones, do you think? Do you know that?
Season 8, even though it had the fewest episodes. Yeah. Oh. Well, I mean, the costumes alone must have cost a fortune, right? All the ice zombies and stuff. But yeah, I think episode 1 would have cost more than this episode. But I don't know, if they dropped all that kind of money, then we're going to get more than one battle this episode, this season.
Yeah, it's like how much, I don't know what the total budget is for the whole season, but
it looks better.
Used up already.
I mean, it's a really good looking show. If you look at like season one of Game of Thrones, you'll see a lot of the cracks in the special effects. And even like the first time Daenerys Targaryen rides a dragon, like that looked very green screened. Green screened?
Yeah.
I thought
green
that
screened.
Green screened, yeah. Like I kind of thought. Honestly, I kind of thought that Daenerys shouldn't have ridden a dragon. To be honest, I would have been happy.
It's so funny looking at the behind the scenes of that and like looking at what they're actually on and like the green screen behind them. It's very funny.
Mm.
But you gotta sacrifice for the art, even if it looks weird. Yeah. You know.
But yeah. I like the episode, but it was definitely like of its pacing, and I think this is going to be one of those episodes that is going to look better once the rest of the season plays out, because this is the setup, and now they've got to like,
they've got to
pay the rest of this off.
They got to wind the pitch up, you know.
Exactly. So yeah, this is us doing our homework ready for next episode. Obviously the first episode was like the punch, the introduction, there was going to be some interesting stuff there. Episode 2 was like laying the groundwork for something a bit more sustained, and then I think episode 3 has the potential to be another slow-paced episode, but I don't know if they're going to do that, judging from things like the previews and the build-up.
It's like when the pitcher looks at that catcher in a baseball game and he's giving him like the cues for which pitch to throw.
Yeah. Well, I think we're gonna
pretty much.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
So I'm looking. This is going to be one of those ones that like is going to look better once the series is out than it is now. It's slow paced, but like, I kind of like the intrigue. I kind of like what they're setting up for, and I like the fact that it's that they are doing it this way as well, because it kind of is easy to slip into the Marvel trap where, you know, everything's just a bit showy and actiony and unearned and that kind of stuff. I say that like there have been some Marvel stuff that haven't done that either, but like, yeah, I like the stuff that they're not like cutting corners or doing anything like that, that they've clued into the stuff that the that that people who like Game of Thrones like and are playing to it a little bit. So that's kind of nice. Yeah, I'm into it. Good episode. Something out of 10.
Woo.
Five crabs out of a crustacean. Cool. Any final thoughts?
Excited for next week.
Ramp it up. Ramp it up.
Ramp it up.
Hot. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So I think I'm going to wrap it up there. Thank you, folks, for joining me. Thank you. I didn't introduce anyone either in this episode or the last one. So thank you to, maybe I did in the last one. I don't know. Anyway, thank you to Matt, Max, Stacey, and myself. Thank you, Chris. We'll see you all next week, and goodbye.